place. And I just say, brother, it's so good to have you.
Thank you, bro.
Hallelujah. Love you too, Jason.
Love you, man. Amen. Can I get this, this whatever this is?
Sure.
I don't know. Here, yeah, let me, thank you. Yeah. Where's our brother that was singing? They're in the back. Can you come join me for a second? Just real quick? Yeah, yeah. Would you mind singing with me for just a minute? Not with me, for me, please. For us. The reason I'm bringing you up here, can you light a mic up for him? Whoever needs to do that. The reason I'm having him do it is because my wife begs me all the time, please don't sing. She's a worshiper and she knows how worship's supposed to go. And I get the words mixed up every once in a while. I don't even know. I sing my own song. Amen. Anybody in the house, you sing your own song? She's like, that's not the words. Brother, what's your name?
Jay.
Jay. I like that. Jay and Jay, huh? Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Miracles can happen now, man.
Amen.
The evidence is all around. Yeah. So seeing that, miracles can happen now.
A miracle can happen now. For the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around. That the Spirit of the Lord is here.
Just right where you're at, close your eyes and
put your
hands out. A
miracle can happen now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For the Spirit of the Lord is here.
God ordained this day.
The evidence is all around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That the Spirit of the Lord is here.
Come on, take all that in. Take all that in. Take all that in. Take all that in. Miracle, 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 miracles can happen.
Miracle can happen now.
Come on.
The Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all. Spirit of the Lord is here. Sing it with me. A miracle can happen now. For the Spirit of the Lord is here.
Of God, for pressure, not winning.
first miracle God's going to do.
Yes.
Let me show you the first miracle God's going to do in this house. If you're a mother and you have a child who is lost in addiction, I want you to stand to your feet. If you're a father and you have a child that's lost to addiction, I want you to stand to your feet. Don't be afraid. God's going to do a miracle right now. February, hold on. Watch. February 21st, 1994, I woke up and it was like somebody laid a map out in front of me. I didn't grow up in addiction. I didn't grow up with addicted parents. I grew up with a single mother that worked hard and a grandmother. My grandfather had passed away at 9 years old, stay standing. So I didn't know how to do that. I didn't know what that was like. And I didn't get into drugs until after high school. But after high school, I fell off. And I became addicted and I couldn't get out. And February 21st, 1994, I woke up in the morning after a big, huge party where I was doing my best to overdose and end it. It was like somebody laid out a map and said, hey, I want you to go to Kansas City. I want you to start working drywall for your uncle. And I want you to make some money, get out of trouble. And I just want you to leave and run. Went, told my mom, my stepdad. I packed up a little two-door 88 hatchback Escort with everything that I had, and I ran to Kansas City. Started working for $9 an hour. God surrounded me with some roughneck guys that helped me dry out physically. They were shocked that I was trying to do it on my own. But they helped me through it. And I have an old Pentecostal grandmother on my dad's side that came by the night before Mother's Day. We were celebrating Mother's Day, and she came by me the first time. She said, hey, you're going to church with me tomorrow on Mother's Day. I was like, no, Grandma. Sorry, man, but like, no, you know. Second time she came back around and she said, hey, tomorrow morning I want you to go to church with Grandma for Mother's Day. That's my gift. And I said, no, hey, you got to understand. Right before she left, she was putting her jacket on and I could see my grandpa over on the side sitting in a chair. And he's a smooth guy, man. He's 91, still hanging drywall. He's a smooth guy, but you don't mess with Grandpa, right? And I looked over, she came back, she was putting her coat on, she said, hey, I'll be here at 9:30 in the morning to pick you up. And I just so happened to look over at Grandpa and he gave me that little nod. And I went to church. Old little country church in Kansas City, Kansas side, Pentecostal side. I know you're standing, but watch, it's worth the stand. A miracle is always worth the stand. A miracle is always worth the stand. When you don't know what to do, stand there for. Hey, I went back that night. I was like, well, that wasn't too bad. There's only like 20 people in the house. I went back that night. I was the only unsaved guy in the house, and I stood out like a sore thumb. And the guy that preached had a fourth grade education. I don't remember what he preached, but they sang an old Pentecostal hymn that said, reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. You'll find he's not too busy if you just take the time. Woo, son. I could relate to that. And so I stood there with Grandpa on one side, Grandma on the other, and I was standing up, and I had my hands like this, and I just said, God, if you're real, show up. And in that second and in that moment, I'm not telling a lie, I'm telling you the truth. It was like hot bath water ran right over from the top of my head all the way down to the soles of my feet. I felt it like somebody poured it out on me and it hit the ground and it came right back up and out my mouth. And I started speaking in tongues as the Lord gave the utterance. But watch this. I had no idea what just happened. I had no idea what just happened. There was crazy people, 15 crazy people. The whole place went nuts. And they was like, you got it, you got it, you got it. I was like, I don't know what I got, man. And the pastor shook my hand and said, awesome, man, you got it. And he walked away. Went to work the next day. There was this crazy guy that was Pentecostal too. And he'd been ministering to me, but I'd been making fun of him. We was on the elevator and I said, hey, Robbie, I got to tell you something, man. I said, yeah, last night I got filled with the Spirit. He said, whoa, don't mess with that, man. You can make fun about a lot of things. Don't make fun about the Holy Ghost. I was like, I'm not. I got filled, man. I don't even know what it is. I just woke up different. Somebody said, I woke up different.
Woke up different.
He said, well, you got to be baptized in water. I'm like, what is that? He's like, my pastor will do it. We go to his house. So after work, we drove to his house, got into the garage, and he had an old horse trough. I ain't joking, man. Like, yeah, I'm a kid from Gary. You understand? Like, He had a horse trough, and his wife was evangelistic. He was evangelistic. They talked for a little while at their kitchen table, and then they took me out in the garage and filled it with ice cold water, because you can only be baptized in ice cold water. You understand? So they filled it with ice cold water, and that dude put me, Brother Haney. Brother Hilton was the guy that preached. Brother Haney was the guy that baptized me. Crazy. He put me in the water, and I came back out, and I kid you not, I felt everything gone, man. Clean as a whistle. Watch this. Hold on. Watch this. This is what I'm going to tell you. This is why I got you standing. This is why God is going to do this miracle. This is crazy. Nothing is, he said, there is not a Hebrew word that means coincidence, and you rocked me with that. Because we have been in a moment where you can't call it coincidence. The fact that he, your cousin, or your nephew, woke up is not a coincidence that I'm in this pulpit today. I'm telling you. So you've got kids. Listen to this story. Listen to the last part of this. So I go home that night. Back up. The Sunday night. I go home that Sunday night. And I call my mom because I knew my mom, she didn't know what to do. I did not know she was praying for me. I called my mom. I said, Mom, I got to tell you something. She said, listen. She said, oh, man, you know how it is. She's like, oh, man, don't tell me you went to Kansas City and got in trouble. I said, no, listen, hold on. I said, tonight I went to church, and I met Jesus, and he filled me with the Holy Ghost, and I'm free. And she started crying, uncontrollably. Now, you listen right now. She started crying uncontrollably because this is what she said. She said, I dedicated you before the Lord as a baby. And when I couldn't find you, because it was a season where nobody could find me, I can't even remember the house that I was living in. It was a drug house in Valparaiso, Indiana. And my wife and I have tried to go back there to find the guys that are living in the house now, and I can't find the house. When they couldn't find me, when my parents couldn't find me, she said, I one night went before the Lord and said, I dedicated him as a baby, but I'm telling you, Father, I'm dedicating him all over again. I'm laying him on the altar, and I'm afraid he's gonna die, but I'm telling you right now, if it means anything to you, God, I dedicate him again. So right now, lift your hands way up in the air. You get the name of your kids, and you rededicate them. You dedicate them to the Lord right now. I dedicate them to you, God. They are in your hands. God is going to do a miracle now. He's going to do a miracle right 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 now. You know it, don't you? You with the hat on. You know it, Papa. You know it, Papa. You know it, Papa. You know it. 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 I see the faith all over you. I see it in your eyes. I see it flowing out of your hands. You know it. God has given you a promise, and today this promise is fulfilled in your ears, and you know it. I see it in you, man. Me and you locked eyes the minute you stood up. It's time. Everybody in the house that is standing and believing for your kids, today is your day. Write it down in a book. It's going to happen. That's the day you got sealed and delivered. That's the day you got healed and set free. Ha ha. Somebody give God a hand, because without God, oh, come on, man. Somebody say yeah. Yeah. Ooh, man. We had a party in the prayer room, man. If you're not showing up early for prayer, good night. They got balloons on the wall. I saw that. They got balloons on. And I was sitting there thinking, man, this is a party. Like, we're partying before church. And we had a party when we came in here. Amen? Amen. Is the prayer room open to everybody? Yeah. If you haven't been in that prayer room yet, I'm telling you, man. If you hadn't been in the prayer room before service, 9:15, if you hadn't been in the prayer room before service, you're missing something. I'm serious. I was like, oh, I could. You know what I was really thinking here? And you, some of you might laugh that are crazy as me. I was thinking, wait a minute now. I'm fixing to get drunk in the Holy Ghost. I'm fixing it. Whoa. Started feeling a little tipsy on the new wine, man. I'm like, hold on. Whew, I got to preach. Hold on. Yeah. I am so thankful for you guys. I mean, I'm just a goofy bald guy with a beard that looks half Amish, but I was never Amish. But God put me all around the Amish. I'm in Goshen. If anybody knows where Shipshawana and Goshen is, I wait for buggies all the time. And I'm an inner city guy. And I'm like, well, bless you, Lord. Whatever. You know, I hear Dutch when I go to Walmart, you know. And I'm like, okay, great. Jesus loves you, you know. They're great people, man. But like, I I'm just a crazy guy that'll bounce around like a little rabbit. And I'm not little, but, you know, and thinks I'm little. My wife says I think I'm little. Amen. But I'll bounce around and have fun. But look at your neighbor and say, I think he's okay. Okay. I think he's all right. I don't know, man. I think if Pastor says he's okay. If Pastor says he's okay. Now look at your other neighbor and say, I'm not sure yet. I mean, we got to talk about the elephant in the room, right? I mean, it's all right. I know who I am. I know my identity in Christ. I know me and him's okay. We're good. I just love God. You heard my testimony. How can you not love God, man? You know? And there's been so many things he's delivered me from, so many things that he's done in my life. Last night, oh, I wish you could have all been there. Whoo, man, we saw God do something crazy last night. A brother got delivered from PTSD. They didn't even want nothing to do with me last night. After service, he wasn't going to talk to me, right, Danny? He's like, you know, I said, hey, man, when I was sitting with you during worship, and he said, and he just went off, you know, and he told me how he didn't want to talk to me, basically. I mean, he didn't say that, but, like, you know, he's showing me. I don't speak a word over me, man, I'm telling you, because he saw some stuff. And all of a sudden, he got done talking after a while, and I was just like, hey, look, I didn't want nothing from you, man. Like, I just wanted to tell you what I felt during worship and encourage you, you know? So I said, when I was, you know, when you're standing next to me during worship, you're huge here. You are huge, and that's why God's got you here. And he said, okay. And I said, how you doing? I just want to connect with you. So I gave him my phone number, and he said, oh, man, I got a rotator cuff, I got a hip, and I got a knee, and I'm going for rotator cuff surgery here in a little bit. And I was like, okay. I said, well, man, look, I don't know where you're at, but just pacify me for a second. Is there any way I could bear, like, lightly pray for you? I won't be long. He's like, oh, yeah, cool. So I laid my hands on him, and he starts doing this. Ooh. Whoa. I'm like, oh, it's working. You're feeling what I'm feeling. That's what I was trying to get to you, man. and so he's like, whoosh, whoosh, you know, and I'm like, you feeling anything? He's like, oh, man, like, wow. He's like, I'm like vibrating. My whole body's vibrating. And I was like, that's the Holy Spirit. And I said, can I do something else, you know? And he's like, sure. You know, he was thinking, if it's anything like that, I want some more, you know? So I went up to him, and I lightly, listen, man, when you're praying for people, don't be a freak. Don't be crazy. Like, when we're out in public and we're loving on people, they already think, I heard a horrific story yesterday at lunch, and our team heard a horrific story yesterday of a group that is manipulating people and taking advantage of people and being mean to people and all this other stuff. So when you see somebody in public, they've already got defenses up. So don't be weird. Okay? Ask them, hey, can I just lightly say lightly? Can I? Because they don't know prayer might mean a whole lot of things, you know? They don't know what you're fixing to do, yeah? So just lightly and just gently and just love on them. And if it's out of love, everything works. Somebody say that. If it's out of love, everything works. So anyways, so I put my hands, and I don't normally do this, I put my hands under his chin, you know, real lightly, and I just, sometimes, like, I just feel the Father, I feel Papa come all over me, man, and just like, oh, loving on his son, man. I got a 12-year-old boy, and oh, man, I just love him. I can't help it. He looks just like me. So I like me, I got to like him. No, I'm joking. So I was praying with the guy, and he starts crying. And the Lord said, that's the PTSD coming off of him right now. Yeah, Jesus. You know, our country, unfortunately, is not taking care of our veterans. And they're not showing them the affection and the love that they needed to. And the enemy has taken advantage of men and women who have served this country. If you just take a moment and you bless them, if you just take a moment and you don't want anything from them, but you take a moment and you love them, you shake their hand, you say, thank you so much for all of your service. Thank you for going and doing what I was never called to do, but thank you for doing it for us. Because I stand here today and have this ability because of you. So, sir, I don't know you, but I want to say to you from the bottom of my heart, I am so thankful for you and the others that have paid the price for the freedom for me to be able to operate in this kingdom under another kingdom from heaven. Because if it wasn't for you, if it wasn't for you, none of this would be possible. Come on, somebody stand. Somebody stand and give him a hand.
Do you mind if we interrupt and do that right now?
Let's do it. Come on. Come on. Are there any other veterans?
Rick, come on up here. This is Rick Johnson. Come on up here. And today is, it's a birthday. It's an anniversary. It's the 244th anniversary of the United States Marine Corps. This is a Marine, and he's got some Marine incredible stories. I need to have you share here one day if you'd be so willing to do that. But also, tomorrow is Veterans Day, and so here we have both of these days. Here's what I'd like to do. If you are a veteran, I'd like for you to come up here.
Yeah, come on.
Come on, all the veterans, come on up
somebody
here.
Somebody give them a hand.
Yeah, thank you, veterans. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, good to see you, friend. Praise God. I want you to know what you're looking at up here. These aren't just men and women who served. I don't know, is there any women here? Nope, just all men. This isn't just men that served. You're looking at love. Because there's no greater love has any man than they lay down their life. They were willing to step up to the plate and put themselves in harm's way so that we could enjoy the freedom that we enjoy. And so we are so incredibly thankful to you men. Thank you, Dad. Hallelujah. Yeah, he learned some things in the military. I'll tell you that later. But you guys are amazing. Thank you for your service. Could you stretch your hands? I think if there's anybody deserving of a blessing, Father, we just stretch our hands towards these men. Thank you for their willingness. Thank you for their service. Thank you that they were willing to get between us and harm and to protect us and to fight for our freedom that we enjoy today. And we celebrate them, God, and we thank you for their service. And Lord, we just speak a blessing over them. We say that you are blessed from on high, and we speak blessing over you and towards you. And we say that you are the head and not the tail. We say that everything you put your hands to prospers under the anointing of God. You go over, not under, that you have an abundance assigned to your account from God. And we just give you thanks, God, for these great men who serve so well. And, Lord, we just do bless them, Father God, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Would you give these great men a hand?
Amen. Amen. Yeah. It really is. It's you could be seated. It's amazing that you have that many men that have served in a congregation this size. That speaks something about this congregation. I just listen. I somebody said, and trust me, there's so much happening on a Sunday morning, even before we get here in prayer and everything else, that sometimes I don't know where it come from, but someone this morning said the word transmittable, that this anointing is transmittable. So I'm going to go to John chapter 10, and I do want to make a deposit. I do want to make a deposit. I did not, like Pastor shared with you, I did not come here to preach. I did not come here to preach for this congregation. We came down here to minister and to hit the streets. And so as Gary and I started talking, and then Pastor Ron, man, like he said, the minute we touched, and Pastor Don, like the minute we even started talking, it just went off. I was actually in the IHOP prayer room, the voice prayer room in Elkhart, when he called and asked me to preach, and I had just gotten out of my mouth, okay, God, this trip is yours. You can do whatever, and he knows that, but like I was just putting it before him in the prayer room, and I was like, oh, man, you called me? I was in the prayer room, but still, let me pray into it. But God opened the door for me to be here, and as he opened the door for me to be here, I'm going to leave a deposit. Amen. You are going to be different after today. Amen. If you want to be different, you're going to be different today. Everything in your life is getting ready to change for the better, but it's not just this, you know, preacher preach ease. You know how we have this stuff where sometimes preachers get excited and they say things? I'm not just saying that. I'm saying that it's going to change because you have the goods. You have it. This church blows my mind. I love this place. I'm going to come visit Gary and Terry or come back down. You know, Terry and Tika, man, he surprised me today. I was excited. But I'm going to come down. And when I come down, man, if I'm not preaching somewhere, I will be right here. You can guarantee that. This is a hot house. This is a holy, holy house, man. Friday night, we had a time in here. So I didn't intend to come here. But I'm thankful and honored that I'm here. And I'm thankful and honored to have a family. So I want you to open up your heart. I want you to open up your mind. Don't shut me down. I want you to hear from the Word of God, and I want you to receive. If you want to do that, say yes.
Yes.
John 10:10. John 10:10. And the Holy Spirit got in my notes today. In the party room, and just started messing with it, and I thought Pastor was just going to go ahead and preach all my message, but I was like, well, that's confirmation. I love how that happens. John 10:10 though, it says the thief does not come except to steal, and to kill, and to destroy, but Jesus says, I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Zoe life. Yeah. Nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing broken. A life that is in abundance. A life that you're not struggling up the side of the mountain to try to get to mountaintops and every once in a while having a valley. I don't like that theology. I don't see that in the Bible. The Bible says that you're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. And we'll talk about it in a minute, but we've been given dominion, and everything, somebody say everything, everything on the earth is at our disposal. We have dominion over it. So why in the world would I just want to go through the motions Monday through Saturday and struggle through to try to make it? And somebody looks at me and says, well, Pastor, you don't understand. Pastor Jay, you don't understand. Like, I've got this going on, and I got that, and I got this in my body and that in my body. Listen, I'm not negating that. But walk your healing out.
Come on.
Walk it out.
Yes.
Because God is getting ready in this hour. He's already in the process of doing things that are miracles, signs, and wonders. And our responsibility is only to just keep walking through that. I had a sister right over here. This sister right over here start talking to me. The Holy Spirit spoke through her about spine. She says, I don't know why I'm really saying this, but when you elongate the spine, everything flows correctly. And what she didn't understand is the enemy has been trying to attack my spinal column because the nerves in the spinal column can shut off your feet and shut off your legs. But let me tell you something. Do you see me limping or walking or anything? You might every once in a while, but most of the time, I'm going to walk out my healing, because you cannot attack my spine and me not respond. And my response is, oh, I'm going to get my healing. I'm going to get. Yeah, I'm telling you, man. Have you ever thought about what he came to steal? We always talk about what he come to kill, how he tries to kill us and he tries to destroy us. But a little while back, I was like, you know what? I read that all the time, and I'm like, he comes to steal. And you know, it's important to read a word and meditate on a word. Don't just read it. Meditate on it. Put it before your face. Let the Holy Spirit explain it to you and reveal and break it open. Yeah? He wants to steal our dominion. He wants to steal our life abundantly. He wants to steal the blood from our life. He wants to steal all the things that the kingdom has given us. He wants to steal everything. It's not stealing your finances. It's not stealing your job. All of those things are secondary. What the enemy is really after is your ability to understand through revelation who you really are. Yeah. And when you get the revelation of who he is, all the brothers that you just saw up here, they had orders against enemy lines and going before enemy lines on offensive to take back what the enemy has stolen. And it's about time that the church starts to take this kind of stance and takes the dominion to take back what the enemy has stolen from us. Amen. Nobody in this room is just playing church. Nobody in this room just came here for a good Sunday morning sermon. I tell preachers all the time, if you'd quit preaching sermons and start preaching messages, something start moving. A sermon is something you just, you know, consider. Yeah, they told me that was going to happen. Woo! I got nervous, man, because I got my fire shoes on this morning. I don't really want to leave them behind. You know? My wife bought them on sale, and before I went to Ireland, these bad boys have been in the Irish Sea, in the water of the Irish Sea. They've went up into the mountains, over to the cliffs. They've went into the mountains of Montego Bay where there's no water running and no sanitation. We went into Canterbury, down where everybody told us, don't go, don't go, don't go. And I said, that's exactly where we want to go. So we went down into the mountain, into Canterbury, and met people, and God moved. And they said, the church won't come down here because they're terrified. And these fire shoes were like, ain't nobody terrified here, son. Whoo! They've been in Inglewood, Chicago, and they've been in a 21-day tent revival in Hermosa, Austin, on the northwest side, where all the gangs are at. And Terry, you know the story. They showed up. The police showed up. The squad showed up. They was in full gear, son. Look, they was in full gear and showed up to the tent. And they said, this little lady was all in full gear and her buddies with her in an SUV. And they said, who's in charge here? I was like, uh-oh. me and other guys? I looked and nobody else is around. I'm like, So we went to a table and she laid out a map. I'm serious. She laid out a map and she's like, listen, I've been hearing that you guys, what are you doing? You're like, you're sending people out in the street to pray for people? I was like, yes, ma'am. And she said, like evangelistically? I said, well, kind of, sort of. More like power evangelism, you know? She said, all right, well, this is why I'm here. She laid out a map. She took a highlight marker and she said, listen, I'm going to tell you something. She said, see this area right here? See this area right here, and see this area right here? She said, wherever you go, you can go anywhere else, but I'm telling you, as the police department of the city of Chicago, this precinct, we're telling you, don't send nobody in there because we will not come in and get you out. I said, well, with all due respect, see this right here? And see that right there? That's where all the salvations is coming from. On the devil. Coming to find out, she was a spirit-filled believer, and she looked at me, but she, you know, the guys by her, they was like, that dude's crazy. He's crazy. She looked at me, and she was like, well, she rolled up her map, she's like, go ahead, then. God bless you. You know, I don't need you to come get me. I don't need you to come get me. I don't need you to send any military in to come get me. I don't need you to send the police department in to come get me. I don't need you to send ambulances in to come get us. I don't need anybody to come get me. I am not afraid. I am not scared. I will go into the depths of the earth and into the pits of hell to get them out, because I'm telling you, he got me out. I told you he did. He got me out. I'm going to get them out. I'm going to get them. Throw them shoes, man. So anyways, like I was saying, I was kind of nervous. I was like, wait, Lord, these are my fire shoes. I don't want to leave them behind. But if he tells me to give them, I'll give them. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 26. Please understand that I go, and I don't just say it. I want to be mindful of your afternoon. I want to be mindful of your time. But I cannot leave here without you activated. Somebody snapped their fingers. Activated. Look, man, you know, I've told people, I said, listen, I'm not your Holy Spirit, but sometimes you got to call off work. Sometimes if you got to work in the afternoon, sometimes, man, God lets a service go, you know, and man, sometimes you just got to show up different. You got to let that roast just do what the roast does. All the mothers in the house are saying, dear Lord, you better not. Genesis 1, chapter 26 through 28. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them, and he don't waste no time. He doesn't waste any time. He cast the vision of what he's going to do upon the earth. The greatest miracle, the greatest manifestation that has ever taken place on the face of the earth, aside from Jesus himself, said, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, all the earth. Somebody say, all the earth. And over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. And male and female, he created them. Then God, somebody say, then God. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Take it over. Take it over. Take it over. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 19. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 19. He took that dirt out of the ground, out of his creation. He formed it into the form of a man, into the likeness and into the image of God. And then he inhaled all over this room, inhale. And then he exhaled. And when he exhaled into Adam's nostrils, the lungs of Adam's nostrils filled up, but also the spirit of Adam started to flow inside of him, and his eyes began to blink, and the brain began to move, and the synapses started to fire, and thoughts began to form, and for the first time ever, all of the heavenlies stood in awe of what God had created. This had never, ever been created before. All of the heavenly angels and the hosts of heaven stood by and watched as this man, now inhale, as this man began to inhale, and they were listening intently at everything that God was saying about this creation. And the Bible says that they watch in awe And then he lets them have all of what he gave them by blessing them. It is a series of things that would go on inside of the Jews for all of the time. The Father laying the hands on the Son and blessing them. Matthew 16, 19, Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" You got to understand, this is a ragtag group of people. Jesus is leading this bunch. I'm kind of like Peter, I think. I always put my foot in my mouth in some sort of way. Peter was always running around, but he was passionate and trying to get it. James and John, Andrew and the rest of them. And Jesus is setting them down and he's talking to them. And he set them aside from the multitudes for a second. And he says, "I want to know something. Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Wow. Somebody say, wow. Wow. Fell right out of his mouth by the unction of the Holy Spirit. Just fell right out of his mouth. Jesus follows it up and he says, Jesus said to and answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys," watch this, if you have a Bible that you can underline, if you have a Bible that you can write in and you've never written in it before, listen to me. I have this underlined in my Bible. You say, "Well, you got your iPhone on." Well, it's because Pastor Jay gets lost sometimes in stuff, and I forgot my Bible at the place we preached at last night. Somebody say, "Help him, Lord." He says, "I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven." Do you understand? Do you understand that that is an opportunity for you? That is not just something that is a might be. That something is a definitely be. That is something from a definitely. That is something from a definitely. That's definitely you shall bind. And he says, "Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." That is not just a. He didn't just coincidentally say that. That's for real, Terry. Oh, man. And then he says, "Whatever you loose." "Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I gave you the keys of the kingdom." Look at your neighbor and say, "He gave us the keys. He gave us the keys of the kingdom. 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 I have 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 the keys of the kingdom." He entrusted me because of the faithfulness and the obedience of the second Adam who came and died on the cross before, man, he went to heaven, laid his blood on the mercy seat, and my sin is done. Ah, he killed sin, death, hell, and the grave. Death, where is your sting? The enemy has laid me in a hospital 3 times in my life and tried to take my life. But each time my wife stood over my bedside and knew his time is not finished. His time on this earth is not done. And you shall, she spoke life into me from my bedside and told the doctors as they walked into the room. She shocked them as she said, "He will not die. He has no choice but to live." The enemy will try to do whatever he can, but I, say it again, I have the keys of the kingdom. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Zoe, nothing is impossible with God. And all things are possible to him that believe. And all things are possible to him that believe. Pastor, you're right. The office of evangelist lights up in me. Dr. Lester Sumrall, who is one of the greatest apostles, my wife, grew up in his ministry. My mother-in-law and father-in-law were on his staff. And I'm telling you, he used to say, I'm an apostle. I can be a prophet. I can always evangelize when needed. I have pastored and pastor now. And then I can teach with the best of them. But at the end of the day, I am Lester Sumrall. And God will use me however he chooses to use me. And I've never forgot that. And so I'm saying to you right now, here's where I want to invest in you right now. You heard it in the word. You've said it out of your mouth that you have the kingdom and the keys to the kingdom. Kingdom of heaven is within us. Right. If you are in Christ, the kingdom of heaven is within you. And the glory is in you. You're a glory carrier. Somebody say, I'm a glory carrier. Okay, so watch this. Watch this. He touched on it this morning. The church, it's so subtle how it happens. But the church, as an institution and denomination, has always tried to separate people into certain places. And what has happened is a kid from Gary who grew up on the wrong side of the tracks in Black Oak, man, at times, and Calumet Township, would look at massive evangelists and massive men and women of God, Catherine Kuhlmans, and say, well, I'm not them. And I don't know if I'm called to do that or not. And so because of that, the isolation has left the body. Somebody say the body. Has left the body inactive. Because if you're not holding a mic, you're not called of God. You're not qualified. You haven't been put in service. Listen, I went to Bible college, and I'm not against Bible college. If you're in Bible college, God bless you and get everything you can. But what they said I was going to get in Bible college, that's not what I got. God gave me something different. You are qualified to be a glory carrier everywhere you go. In Ephesians, it says that he's given us the fivefold, and I know that you've had massive training on that, so I don't even have to do anything but touch on that. He's given you the fivefold, and it says that he gave you the fivefold to do the equipping of the saints, to do the work of the ministry. The equipping of the saints to do the work of the ministry. I moved my family up in 2005 back to Portage, Indiana. I was kicking and screaming. I was in Branson, north of Branson in Springfield, Missouri, dude. I was in God's country, man, floating on rafts and riding in canoes and wow. And God brought me back, called me back to Indiana to help a church out in my hometown of Portage where I graduated from, Portage, Indiana. And I thought we moved in faith. I didn't have a job. We didn't have a place to live. Mom and my stepdad said, come on, live with us for a little bit till you find a place, the right place. And I was looking for a job, couldn't find a job. Long story short, I started to be a pipe fitter. I come from a long line of pipe fitters. So one of my uncles was like, hey, man, you can make a lot of money, you know, being vocational, being a pipe fitter. Went through the apprenticeship. After I got out of the apprenticeship, I went in and they sent me to U.S. Steel Gary Works. If you don't know what that is, I'm like, that's hell on earth. And so they sent me to the base of the blast furnace where guys was dressed up in silver suits and poking, you know, rods and everything. I had a hard hat on and my oxygen monitor was always going off. And I'm thinking, God, where am I at, man? I moved here for this? And so watch this. They said all the apprentices have to work overtime. So I worked all night Friday night into Saturday. And right when I thought they was going to let us off Saturday afternoon, guess what they did? They came back around. They said, there's the brake trailer. All the apprentices, go to the brake trailer, get some rest. We got a night shift coming. I was like, a night what? They said, you want to go home? I was like, no, sir. They said, that's what I thought. Go to that brake trailer and get you some rest and get some food. So I worked, and I was exhausted. Sunday morning was rolling around. Saturday night was coming. I was late Saturday night. I was exhausted. We was inside of this place where the big pots would fill up with the steel, and then they would pour into these big, you can see I didn't stay there very long because I don't know what I'm talking about, but they was into these, like, they called it the Q shop, and they was forming it, and they would pour the hot molten metal into it, and it would go down to the next floor. Well, the battery backup had seized, and so this cart in its computer thought to go backwards as the ladle poured. So it poured all this hot, and I guess it happens every so often, but whatever. So we're pipe fitters, so we've got all the hydraulic pipes under this cart that we've got to do. Now, mind you, it's late at night, man, and this thing's shut down, and every minute that it's shut down, they lose money, okay? So I'm already tired. I'm already dirty. I'm in dirty clothes, been in dirty clothes for a couple. Man, come on, man. And so I go, and I'm there, and I'm starting to get a little irritated at the Lord, man. Anybody ever got irritated at God? Like, I was, like, irritated. And so we climb underneath this. I got hydraulic fluid all over me. I'm missing my family. I'm half asleep. We're pulling stuff. I'm still learning how to do some of this stuff. I got bells and whistles, alarms going on all over. I was like, this is hell. Yep. It's hell on earth. I don't know where I'm at. And I was like, God, I don't know what you're doing, dude. And so all of a sudden, the superintendent said, hey, stand over here for a minute because the iron workers are going to come and they're going to get the crane and move it over. And I was like, all right. So there was me and this guy that would talk vulgar and cuss up a storm, okay? He was a young guy, and he did it just because he knew I was in the ministry. And he thought it was funny. He'd say all kinds of stuff, just random stuff, just to say it, just to see my response. But I always loved him. There was another guy that was standing there. He's about my age. And so we're standing there, and all of a sudden he looks at me and he says, I got a question for you, preacher. I was like, okay. And I thought, well, don't make it too hard because I'm really tired right now. And he said, I got a question for you, preacher. He said, let me ask you a question. He said, does God do things to you to teach you a lesson? I was like, I need more. He said, would God give you twins that are deformed to teach you a lesson? I said, not my God. Why? He said, are you serious? I was like, yeah. And he got mad. He's like, my wife and I, we left church because we got busy trying to, you know, build a home and do all this stuff. We was trying to make money. We left church. We knew we shouldn't have left church and everything else, but she was praying to get pregnant. And we believe God gave us a kid. And she got pregnant. She got pregnant with kids or with twins. Taking infertility drugs and everything else. And she said, you know, those two beautiful boys, they came out and they're not right. And both of them have Down syndrome. So we were like, hey, you know what? We want to go back to our family. We want to go back to our family. We want to go back to our church family. And so we took those boys back to the family. And he said, you know what? The pastor wouldn't even dedicate the children. And he said, the ladies in the church took my wife aside at some point in time and said, listen, we don't know how to tell you this, but we just need to tell you, like, your season out, God did this to bring you back, and look, you're back now. It was years later that I'm standing in a mill, covered in hydraulic fluid, exhausted, full of the power of the Holy Spirit, but not feeling it at all, that I was standing in front of this guy. And I said, oh, my friend, let me apologize on behalf of the manipulated religious society. I won't even call them the church, man. Let me apologize on behalf of them that they misrepresented our father, your dad. I said, your dad sent me here. Now I know why I'm here. And I felt the power of God start to move all over me, just like I feel in this pulpit. I said, let me tell you who our dad, your dad is, our dad. He brought your brother here to tell you that was not him, man. God loves your sons. God loves you, and he would never, ever harm you to try to teach you. And I saw the pain start to lift off of him, and he started to grieve. Just, oh! And I'm like, come on, brother, let all that out. Let all that out, man. I know we're in a place and the hydraulic fluid started flowing down him. I was crying and he was crying. And I was praying in the spirit saying, God, fill this brother with your love. And I'm like, heavens are open over you, my friend. And God has sent me here to tell you that is not our God. And all of a sudden I heard sniffles. And I look over, and this dude that had been mean to me the whole time, talking vulgar to me, was crying under the anointing of the power of the Holy Ghost. And I said, are you okay? He said, I don't know, man. I ain't never felt nothing like this. I got released from being a pipe fitter a week later. Because it's not about where I work. It's about who he is. And I didn't come here to invite you to a night of evangelism, which I want you to come. I asked, yeah, she asked, let's do. I do. But listen, more than evangelism outreach, and we've talked, it, yes. It's glory. And you are a glory carrier. Say, I am a glory carrier. And today, I'm activating the glory of God in a new way to you. I am transmitting an activation to you. I am transmitting an activation to you that you will take from here. Because you're right about what you feel. This season for this congregation is a whole new world. And God has had you inside of an incubator. And he has been incubating the prophetic. And he has been incubating the words of knowledge and the gifts. He has been incubating all of that in you. And you might be sitting here saying, well, I haven't been feeling that. Hang on, because it's coming. And he's been doing that so that he could all of the sudden, just like the upper room, flood you out into the streets. I've been at your car lots. I've been at your mobile home parks. I've been at your Winn-Dixie's, yours, right down the street. Because she got the word Winn-Dixie and didn't even know it was a grocery store. I've been there. And let me tell you something. Two things happen. One, those that don't know Jesus, you bring them to Christ. You bring back the lost sheep of the house. Oh, that the body would wake up and be awakened to go after the one. The lost coin. But the second thing that happens, and I see it all the time, is the lost bride. Those that have been hurt in one way or the other, just like I described, I come into contact with them all of the time. We came into contact with a young family struggling with nobody to reach out to that were believers. And God brought us into contact with them to encourage them. I'm here to impart, to make an impartation to you that from this day forward, wherever you work, wherever you shop, wherever you do cleaning, wherever you wash your car, wherever you drive, wherever you fix your car, wherever you do the oil, wherever you do anything in this area, you say, I'm not from here, I'm from Clearwater. Go get Clearwater. Amen. From this day forward, activating you to do the work of the ministry. Because it's not my work, it's our work. It's not Pastor Ron and Pastor Donna's work, it's our work. And when I see this church again, it won't even come close to looking the same. Put your hands out like this. All over this house. All over this house, the heavens are open. And all over this house, God, it's very simple. You have already put your glory in us. You've already put your glory in us. If the worshipers would come, you've already put your glory in us. Now I ask that you activate that glory. You activate them. You activate them to do the work in the police departments. You activate them to do the work in the hospitals. You activate them to do the work wherever they work at the bank. You activate them. And today, Father, I speak a word over them that wherever you go, you won't be able to help but do it. You'll see things about people that you've never seen before, right now. Hallelujah. You'll see things that you've never seen before in people, and you'll see it right now. You'll go into a grocery store and you won't be able to help but see the hurting and the broken and the wounded. I came that you might have life and life more abundantly. Yeah. Fire from heaven. 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 Sister, real quick, in the green, can I speak to you for a second? Is that okay? Right where you're at. Yeah? You are a treasure trove of wisdom. I just saw a huge treasure chest open, and I could run my hands through the gold coins. And each gold coin represents a moment that God got you through something, or that you found a revelation, or that you latched on to one of his words as an understanding. And that chest is full to overflowing. Yeah. So I was like, Lord, why are you showing me that? I hope you're ready. I hope you're ready. Because you're going to start speaking into women like you never have before. You're going to start speaking into women like you never have before. I see single mothers sitting at your feet in your house. I see single mothers as their kids are playing. I see you getting toys. I just saw you like at Walmart buying toys that you haven't bought or whatever and putting them in the living room because of the single mothers that are going to sit at your feet and let the kids play. And you're going to start taking from that treasure chest and handing them the coins. The heavenly deposits of the treasure you have stored up in heaven. Joy, back there, stand. Will you use with me Friday night? You talked to me this morning. You, both of you stand. Joy, I heard you all weekend long. Dark hair, I heard you all weekend long. The Lord was dealing with me ever since we met on Friday night. I've been praying for you. I've been praying over you. Just have been in my mind. You're entering into a season of joy because you need the strength of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is his strength. But there's a new level of joy. Yeah. So I'm going to tell you something, and it might sound strange, but you got to get crazier than you've ever been. You're wild now. You're wild now. You're wild now. You're wild now. But you're going to get crazier than you've ever been. So I don't know what that says to you, but this morning when I woke up, I saw you coming down the center aisle. I don't know how you want to come down the center aisle, because I'm telling you, there is not much where you care about what other people think right now, just like me. Listen, but guys, that's where we've got to get, man. I love you. I love you. But at the end of the day, I know who I am in Christ, man. I got to be who he created me to be. So I don't know what it looks like, but I'm asking you because I saw it in the spirit. Come down this center aisle, however. Yeah, come down this center aisle, however you want to come. Whatever you want to do. Yeah. Ha, ha, ha. Joy, 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 unspeakable and unspeakable joy. Unspeakable joy. Unmeasurable joy. Unmeasurable joy. Unmeasurable joy. His gift for you, full and running over joy. Oh, that you get drunk in the spirit wherever you're at. Oh, that you're driving down the road and you just get lost in his presence. Oh, that the joy of the Holy Spirit comes upon you in places where you feel uncomfortable, maybe, to even have it, but you just start moving around a little bit. And people start to wonder, because here's the thing that God is getting ready to do, is specifically with you, is people are going to start to ask you what's wrong with you. They're going to start to say, hey, what's wrong with that lady? But the presence of God is going to fill the room. It's going to fill the bank where you're at. And they're going to say, you're going to say, just like Peter did, there ain't nothing wrong with us. We are not drunk as you